from the biggest stages in golf.
64 foot, 5-inch putt to win his first major championship. That was storybook stuff, Gabe.
To the courses right here in Wisconsin.
Made sure we had plenty of chicken salad.
She gave me a member's service.
She most certainly did.
Salad.
Again, the guy at the front gate thought you were an employee. Maybe she thought you were an employee out here playing as well.
We're talking majors, tour drama, and the rounds we wish we didn't have to post. This is On the Tee, alongside PGA Tour Live Stephen Watson. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
Stephen and I still, you know, pretending like it's Masters Week. He's got the polo, I've got the hat. Still basking from our experience at Augusta National.
I feel like every show post-Masters, I have to wear a different piece of merch that I got.
That you got?
I didn't get a ton. But I got enough to last
got enough
probably a month worth of shows here on the
tee.
This is the only golf shirt I got, though.
Really?
That is a sweet golf shirt.
It is a great golf shirt, right?
Nice. Thank you, Homer.
Homer. Even if he wasn't a show. Homer approves the golf shirt.
Well,
that's the only golf shirt you got, really?
I only got one golf shirt.
Oh, okay.
I got a hoodie.
Yep.
I got a golf shirt.
Okay.
I got two hats.
Okay.
Got a scorebook.
The scorebook is sweet.
Pretty excited about it.
Scorebook is really sweet.
I got a poster because I try to frame a poster from every golf event I work or attend. And clothes for the kids, clothes for my wife, and a couple of ball markers for friends. I was tame, Gabe. You would have been proud of me.
I am proud of you for, again, because it can get out of control
in
the merch store. In the merch center at Augusta, it can get out of control. I get it. But I'm very proud of you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I was pretty
tame this
time
around. The wheels were spinning in there.
Yes.
You know me well enough to know, like, you put that guy in a merch shop and watch out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an overwhelming experience.
Again, like I told, I picked up the yardage book and decided to put it back down.
That's true resolve from you, because I was waiting for you to show me the yardage book for the golf course that I'm sure you'll play one day.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was the moment where I'm like, I don't know when I would ever look at this.
That was good restraint, but I'm kind of bad because it would have been a good bit to have you show that to me on the show here.
It was only $10. Like, you know, that was...
I should have bought it and given it to you as a gift. That would have been a better bit.
That would have been an even better bit because I do love my yardage books. And again, I get made fun of.
Who are you, Matt Fitzpatrick, using your yardage book?
Right? It is time to dive into. Maybe it'll be a little bit about Matt Fitzpatrick at some point, but it's all about the drive. Milwaukee, let's celebrate Ewald Automotive Group's 62-year anniversary sale. It is here this month, celebrating with anniversary savings on 1,400 cars, trucks, and SUVs. Payments as low as $250 a month, financing as low as 0%, plus 2 years of maintenance included on us. The Ewald Automotive Group 62-year anniversary sales event is happening this month at every Ewald location at ewaldauto.com as well. So it is all about the drive, and yes, we've got a lot of things to talk about in terms of Matthew Fitzpatrick, but the big news out of the golf world is it seems like LIV Golf may not be long for our professional golfing world at this point. Again, it's...
Long live golf.
A huge story swirling around LIV Mexico last week. You know, different rumors of, is this event even going to happen? Are they funded past this event? You know, announcements imminent. Now, none of these announcements have been made, but at least according to their CEO in a now edited interview that came out of TNT Europe, it seems that LIV Golf is indeed only funded throughout this 2026 season. After that, the PIF, the money faucet, it's getting turned off, and they're going to have to figure out different ways to raise funds for this league.
Man, all I can think about is, what is Brian Rolapp thinking? What is John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau thinking about the missed opportunity? And man, what is Brooks Koepka thinking? Like, hey, I'm going to tee it up this week at the Zurich. Got to eat my cake and have it too. Who would have guessed that Brooks Koepka was playing chess while everybody else was playing checkers?
Well, and Brooks had to pay a substantial amount of money to charity, and there were some, you know, some penance that needed to be paid there in order to come back to the PGA Tour. But they kept that window open for everybody, and what's interesting, so there have been so many articles about this, but there was one over at The Athletic.
Yeah.
Kind of detailing all of these. And in there, you mentioned Bryson. Apparently, Bryson and his team at Augusta were meeting with officials trying to figure out, okay, if I leave LIV, what happens next? You know, trying to, and they didn't have any details of what those conversations included with the, I'm assuming he met and talked with the PGA Tour, probably DP World Tour officials, trying to figure out, okay, if I'm not playing, where do I play next year? And he has apparently threatened, maybe that's too strong of a word. He has tried to use his YouTube golf as leverage in asking for $500 million from LIV Golf, saying, hey, you got guys leaving. You need me for $500 million. And they're not going to pay that. And even if LIV is around next year, if they find funding, nobody's going to pay him $500 million because he's not actually worth that to anyone who's not an irrational actor. So he's used his, oh, I'll just play YouTube golf and play in the four majors. Now, that would put a lot of pressure on him playing well in those majors in order to stay qualified for them, because he still does have from his U.S. Open victory win from a couple of years ago. He's exempt into all of them for now. But again, I think that leaves a lot of unanswered questions to those stars. And what does Rolap and the PGA Tour do?
Yeah.
Because I honestly think, Steven, they're in a spot. PGA Tour could, if they, would the PGA Tour be better with Rahm and Bryson? Yeah. Would their ratings go up significantly? I don't think so.
I don't think it changes anything.
I don't think it really changes anything at this point.
I think, you know, this is just a projection, but I
shouldn't say that. With Bryson, yes. With Rahm, no. Like, Bryson, I think, does bring eyeballs because he is a polarizing figure. He's an interesting figure, and...
But you have to think about, Bryson cares more about his YouTube than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, that's his business model. He just opened, you know, with Grant Horvat, they're starting a new YouTube channel themselves, too, and... that is always going to be a problem.
When was he going to play
when
that,
it comes to that, the PGA
that
Tour?
Horvat YouTube Tour thing that they're playing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know,
that's not gonna get
then
you
you're starting
majors.
To deal with rights fees and sponsors, and you know it, that kind of gets interesting. I think, you know, from a Brian Rolap standpoint, the opportunity for those guys to get in before this PGA Tour season was the cleanest way for him to say,
yep,
I think we're good without you. You're either in or you're out. And he was aware that they were contractually obligated to play this upcoming season. But I think he got one of the guys that he feels like he needs or wants back on tour in Brooks Koepka. Because Brooks was never tied in like Bryson and Rahm currently are.
And I don't know. So again, with Patrick Reed, let's say. And P was different because he was also involved in a lot of different litigation throughout the last handful of years. So they basically said for him, it was a year suspension from his last event, which is why then there was speculation of, okay, if this thing's not going to be funded, some of these guys just jump ship now going, oh, because our last event is actually pre-Masters now, if that resets the clock. But for some of these guys, depending upon how deep they got in some of that litigation with the PGA Tour, they might be suspended for more than a year. And I'm really curious about John Rahm. Because he doesn't want to pay, for him, a minimal fee to get back on the DP World Tour.
Well, and I think that's only hurting, you know, his value to the PGA Tour, the way that he's handling the DP World Tour, because I think they want to work in unison and become closer moving forward, you know, if LIV does cease to exist, right? Like, it only benefits both the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour to have a tighter partnership moving forward. And I don't think they need those guys anymore. I really don't. I think this game has not been in a better place. And I keep reflecting on it. I think LIV was maybe the best thing that ever happened to the PGA Tour.
For the players.
And in the way that it reset the market, it changed the vision for how you get your best players to play more. I think we're going to see the benefit in the schedule moving forward. I think the fans will win. I think the players will be happier. And I think it's going to elevate events. I really do. I think their self-worth was unfortunately inflated in a way that's going to ever allow the market to be corrected in that way.
Well, but the market is going to correct itself.
But I do think that, you know, finding the best schedule moving forward and finding ways to get guys invested in playing together more only happened because of LIV.
So I would agree with that. I am curious. The money thing is such a huge thing that lauds over everything else right now, because maybe LIV can find other investors, but it's going to be barely anything compared to what the PIF has already pumped into that thing, right?
Of course.
So if they want to keep LIV going, the purses are going to be much smaller. And if the purses are significantly smaller, what's the point?
I don't think people care about the purses anymore.
I have never cared about the
purses. Yeah, but I'm just saying...
I'm saying from a player perspective, why would you go play on that tour if you're not playing for a limited field playing for $20 million
correct.
Every week the way that they do? And so then that brings the money question to the PGA Tour, who supposedly has been having some issues getting some of their big longtime partners. We've seen this, right? The Wells Fargo. It's no longer the Wells Fargo. Now it's the Truist.
Yeah.
Right? But the Cognizant Classic of the Palm Beaches. Honda was the longest sponsor. Gone.
Yeah.
They've had problems getting...
Farmers Insurance is...
Farmers Insurance. Gone. So they've had issues getting some of their longtime partners to renew at the rate in which they want them to try to funnel this money to the players. And if they don't have the irrational actors out there with the $20 million purses and all the things that live, the guaranteed money and all those contracts, I got to think the money on the PGA Tour is probably going to come down a little bit if they want to be able to fund everything they want to fund. Because I don't think for a niche sport, the money that's been thrown around is sustainable.
Oh, 100%.
So I think some of that worth of the players is going to drop down once this head-to-head war between LIV and the PGA Tour actually ends.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to legacy at the end of the day, right? Like, I think we're finally starting to see the guys get rewarded for wanting to play competitive golf and play for legacy. And that's why I feel like I haven't thought about Rahm a ton outside of the majors. And even in the majors, he hasn't been that competitive.
I mean, really, ever since he went to LIV, the only time I've thought of Rahm was last year. And I know he finished at the British last year, right? At the Open Championship, he finished top 10.
Yeah, he backdoored his way
non-competitive top 10. So he's had decent finishes. But the only time he was actually relevant, you know, on a weekend at a major was last year in the PGA. And he just kind of ran out of gas because it took a lot for him to catch up to Scotty initially and just kind of ran out of gas the final 7 or 8 holes. But that's the only time I've thought about John Rahm in terms of even the majors on a weekend. Because it's mostly been like what we saw this year at the Masters. Yeah, he was there on the weekend, but wasn't really relevant.
Would you miss him?
Rahm?
Yeah.
I mean, I miss an elite John Rahm the same way I miss an elite Cam Smith. Like, Cam Smith at the top of his game, great ball striker, unbelievable putter, getting up and down from so many spots.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch. He got his money, stopped caring. Maybe that's unfair, but that's what the results say.
DJ, same story.
Same thing with DJ. And again, the reports around those guys, like Cam's, you know, part of the reason Cam took that money is so he could spend more time in Australia, be home more. And if that's what's important to him, I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah,
if that's what's important to you, good for you, man, for getting that money and doing what's important to you.
Yeah,
we all should be so lucky. But as a golf fan, that made him less sharp, want to grind less. He hasn't factored into a major championship really ever since he won his major championship at the Open at St. Andrews. And it's the same thing with DJ. DJ, the drives he would hit, the unbelievable shots he could hit, the boneheaded mistakes he would make. He was entertaining. And by all reports, he got the guaranteed money checked out. He doesn't really work on his game anymore because he doesn't need to. He doesn't care. Again, if that's what's important, good for you. But as a golf fan, I feel like we are the ones who have suffered the most during the, you know, LIV versus PGA Tour thing. And that's why I would be glad to see LIV shut down. Yes, the changes have mostly been good for the players. And I hope that makes golf a better product going forward whenever this ends and everybody's back together. But that just leads to less guys going to Smith. I think of somebody like Michael Lasasso.
Yeah, that's the name that comes to mind. I mean,
he passed
NCAA up. NCAA champion, had an opportunity to play in Augusta this year and passed it up
on it because he decided to turn pro and not just turn pro, but go to LIV. And what his pathway is, I'm not sure. I don't know what the pathway back for him is.
Yeah. You have to wonder, a lot of those guys are going to get lost in the shuffle if LIV does, you know, end by the end of this calendar year. Because
which seems to be the way we're trending, right?
Yeah.
If the PIF is pulling out their money, and that's not even just what reports are saying, that is what their CEO said.
Yeah.
That they have funding through 2026. And again, hilarious that the interview was posted, then deleted, then reposted with that portion of the interview cut out.
Yeah.
Like it never happened.
It's been a crisis PR situation for Liv Goff. But we shouldn't be surprised that we're here at this point. I mean, I'm with you. I feel relieved that we're at this point. We can stop, you know, the circus that's been around this league and trying to fracture the game when we finally have some positive energy with superstars taking over and owning it, and a direction with a clear leadership in the PGA Tour. Like I don't think there's been momentum around the professional game in a positive way like this in quite some time. And I feel like the nail in the coffin on Liv would only help elevate the PGA Tour, because they learned from their mistakes that were projected by Liv when Liv was started, and different ways of taking care of their players and getting the most out of their guys, and, you know, allowing the PGA Tour to look itself in the mirror and learn from its mistakes and get better. And now we're getting to a point where
they got better leadership.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I think I feel better about the PGA Tour going forward, is because Rolapp seems to be a competent leader.
And with good leadership comes buy-in. And I think there's a vision for what the PGA Tour is going to look like. And when you have the faces of your tour buying in and supporting it, that's how we grow. And that's when fans ultimately win in the end, because fracture and drama, what we had over the last 4 years, that turned a lot of people away from watching golf. And it wasn't because they were watching Liv, because I think we know how those ratings were. I think they were just exhausted by the unnecessary drama.
And like, I do feel bad for golf fans in like Australia or South Africa, because those events, people truly came out and supported.
Yeah.
But and maybe there's a way for the DP World Tour, the PGA Tour, to kind of figure out some more worldwide stops, maybe in, you know, kind of an off season, allow somebody like, I mean, Rory went down and played the Australian Open this year.
Yeah.
Right. And just
change
Tiger
up the Corn Ferry Tour schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
Get guys over there. I mean, more guys are going to be potentially fighting for fewer spots.
Try to go to some of these spots. The problem is there's just not a ton of revenue around them. And that's ultimately what drives everything, is being able to get money. It's great that South Africa had that event and they had that many people show up. And then it came down to Rahm versus Bryson, right? Like, good for you that you got that tournament live. How much money are you making off of that? And can you actually make enough money where you can make money off of it? Because, well, Rahm got nine figures overall. Bryson got nine figures overall. And that's just not a sustainable way to make money. And that's the only way you got guys to show up for those events.
Yeah, because for so long we were told money is not an issue. There's an infinite amount of money.
Yeah.
And now there's no money.
But that's, they've decided, hey, we've got a different strategy that we want, and that includes not throwing billions of dollars away in a golf league. That ultimately probably proved successful for the ultimate reason that the Saudi Arabians wanted. They now have the sports washing worked.
Mm-hmm.
Their money is normalized.
Yes.
And they found their way into a number of different sports. But that's where we start today. That is all about the drive. It's brought to us by our friends at Ewald Automotive. Again, their 62-year anniversary sale going on right now. Head over to ewaldauto.com. Did have a champion over the weekend and an iconic golf course with an iconic finish. We dive into that next on the tee.
Back to the course and on the tee with Gabe and Steven after this on 94.5 ESPN.
With 18 unforgettable holes on 250 acres of natural private land, the Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. After your round, stop in the clubhouse for food and drinks. Call 262-284-7075 or visit golfthebog.com. I'm curious about the new PGA Tour schedule and if it will include a signature event after the Masters, because I think, Steven, just overall, before we get to Matt Fitzpatrick and him winning this event and him having a fantastic season, by the way, so far, I think I'm good with not having a golf event the week after the Masters or any major at that point, especially when you have the last two that have been just so up and down and exciting, great golf tournaments. I don't think you need to have a golf tournament the week after. Let those majors breathe a little bit and exist in the minds of golf fans and give the guys a little bit of a break.
I think that you could move the RBC Heritage to the week of the Texas Children's Houston Open, which is 2 weeks after the Players.
Okay.
and 2 weeks before the Masters.
Yeah.
And make that a signature event. And it caps off an unbelievable start to your PGA Tour schedule. It's a signature event that people want to go to. You're close to Augusta. And allow people, if they want to go to the Valero Texas Open as a way to get in on points leading into the Masters, sure. But it takes that week after the Masters off the schedule, give them a break. And, I mean, you could even put the Zurich in as the team event.
Sure.
After Augusta.
Yeah, I'm cool with that because it feels just more silly season. Just,
yeah, it's
there's something there.
Looser, lower, you know, lower stress for these guys. And, you know, not everybody's going to be contending into the weekend at Augusta. So it gives, you know, an opportunity for guys to get that big win on their PGA Tour schedule. Look what it did for Ben Griffin last year, the Zurich. So I couldn't agree more. I hate where this falls into the calendar every single year because it is an incredible golf course. It has been a signature event for quite some time now, and I'd heard that, you know, RBC is trying to maybe figure out Canadian Open or Heritage, maybe flipping every other year, that being a signature event. But I couldn't agree more. I feel like this one gets lost by golf fans because of just the hangover effect of what Augusta National gives you every single year.
And again, I guess because what Rory's prioritizing, being ready for the majors— He's skipped the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because he's, oh, I won this week. I don't care. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm spent. I want to go celebrate. I'm skipping this event. And he's one of the, obviously, like if Scotty would have won last week instead of Rory. I don't know if Scotty's showing up.
I don't know if Scotty and Rory are showing up in that situation.
Yeah, Rory's probably skipping no matter
Scotty
what.
Scotty is there because he's a past champion. So I think that that has something to do with him always playing in Heritage.
Sure.
But yeah, it's,
you know what I'm saying? Like Scotty, honestly, I'm surprised Scotty still showed up this week. Maybe because he is past champ, but he's just had a kid at home.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, needs a little break from the crying, you know, it's different with two.
That's what I hear. Tell me all about it, bud.
It's different with two, you know, you go back to playing man to man from zone. It's just different.
Yeah.
You got to prioritize your energy and your time. And I know that he probably has a lot of help and a great wife, but it's just different.
Yeah.
So, no, I say that all in jest because I know that his family's a big part of his life.
Yes.
And they travel with him week in and week out. Doesn't matter if he's playing or not. But I do think that for a guy like Scottie Scheffler, you want to see him play in as many events as possible.
Yeah, same thing with Rory.
And
Justin
Rory,
Rose skipped this week.
Yeah, and a lot of them aren't playing next week, you know, this upcoming weekend in the Zurich.
It looks like that Rory Shane Lowry pairing.
Yeah.
Deuces. See you
later.
I
wonder how much Brooks Koepka paid Rory to say, can I get your partner? Because I need to win on the PGA Tour so I can get into the rest of the signature
events.
Getting
the rest of the signature events.
But yeah, I always think about this event when you talk about ways to change the schedule. And I'd like to see Heritage get a new spot so we could be a little bit more excited about it because it is an incredible golf course. One that you don't find many golf courses like Harbor Town where like the universal sentiment of it amongst PGA Tour players is it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different type of golf course to what they're used to seeing week in and week out because it's true target golf. It rewards angles and, you know, creativity. You think about past champions at RBC Heritage that have won recently.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Fitzpatrick, great plotter of the golf ball. Justin Thomas, creative.
Oh, the wedges
Scotty
in the
Scheffler,
short game.
Best in the world
at
everything. Jordan Spieth, an artist. And, you know, that's what that golf course rewards. And I think that more people should be excited about it year in and year out at Harbor Town.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Jordan Spieth this week.
Oh, you don't want to go? No?
Well, I mean, he was so good. He said he hit it as well as he ever had at Augusta.
I think we need to have a sponsored segment on this show, like the Spieth experience, where we just need to.
And he couldn't putt. Like
talk
he was,
you off of Spieth Island.
He was never going to happen. I'm going down when the island sinks into the ocean. I'm going to be on that island. But
you're like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Wilson.
But he literally putts the worst I've ever seen him at Augusta. Right, like leaving 10 footers short. So then what does he do this week? Leads the bleeping field in putting. led the field in putting. Puts that, like, he just, he can't ever put it together. He can't put it together anymore. Like, he can't strike it well and putt well in the same week.
You know what it takes to win on the PGA Tour, Gabe?
Yeah.
Putting it together.
He so used to be one of the best at putting it together.
There are a lot of guys.
Not like this.
Who don't put it together week in and week out.
He almost led the field in birdies this week. The double bogeys kind of hurt, you know?
Just a tiny little detail.
Yeah, it is a tiny little detail because he's close. Like, you see it. He's close.
How many rounds of golf do you play where you say, those two holes, man.
Sure, but I'm not a three-time.
Forget about the doubles, but let me tell you about that back nine.
I'm not a three-time major champion, right? Like, he's right there, Stephen.
He's close?
He's close.
He's close. How long is even close?
Roughly 3 years. However, what if he wins the PGA?
Oh, gosh. Hey, if he completes the career Grand Slam,
yeah,
he's going to do it in the speediest way possible. I'm rooting for it. I'm here for all the storylines.
I'm going to tell you this right now. You're probably going to have to do that Tuesday by yourself because I'm still going to be partying. If he completes the career Grand Slam at Aronimink. I'm just telling you right now.
I'll bring the volleyball in with the handprint for you on Spieth Island.
Just telling you right now, if he somehow puts it together at the PGA and wins another major championship, like I'm partying for a week.
My goal on the ground that week is to try and get Jordan Spieth to say something to you.
Okay. It's just, yeah.
I'll try and get him on record about you living on Spieth Island by yourself.
I've got him. Hey, he's always going to be my guy. Always going to be my guy.
Hey, I'm here for it.
Just can't quit him.
But Jordan Spieth experience is second to none.
But we can talk a little bit about Matthew Fitzpatrick. Because what's incredible is you think about where he was at the end of the PGA Tour season last year. At the end of August, when the season had ended, he probably was not on the Ryder Cup team. So what does he do? He goes to Europe, performs well over there. Luke Donald goes, all right. You've proven that you've gotten in enough form. Obviously, you have past experience. You're back on the team. On the team plays a big role in them retaining the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. And now he's won twice this year. Was in contention at the Players. What he's been able to do the last 8 months is incredible in terms of a turnaround for him.
Last year at the RBC Heritage, he was a 79th ranked player in the world. He's now the third.
It's incredible. And again, he's won twice already. He's had a lot of high finishes. He's playing great golf, which is why I was surprised the crowd kind of reacted the way they did to him.
Yeah, I have a problem with how the crowd handled Sunday. I'm all for cheering on Scottie Scheffler. I think as golf fans, we were excited to see that go into a playoff and Fitzpatrick make bogey on 18 to let Scottie back in. We all want more golf. We want drama on a golf course like that with a great finishing hole. Like, give us more golf. But man, that guy went out there and won that thing with a 4-iron, set himself up for birdie. Scotty had every opportunity himself to go out there and win that in a playoff. But when you're rocking USA chants to, like, probably the nicest guy on the PGA Tour who has shown zero hostility towards Americans ever. Like, I get the Ryder Cup rivalry, but he has storied history at that place. Like, he and his family vacationed to Hilton Head for years and years and years from central England. And he talked about how much that property meant to him and winning there a couple of years ago. You would have thought it would have been like a hero's return type of crowd, you know, response to him having an opportunity to win that event for a second time. And instead, USA chants and a dead crowd when he walks in. A winning birdie putt on the first playoff hole? Like, give me a break, fans.
After the 4-iron he hit? Like, yeah.
That was a golf shot.
And I think I've made my views on Bryson DeChambeau known. Not a big fan. Not a fan of his. But you know what I really appreciated? That bunker shot he hit at Pinehurst number 2.
Yeah.
It's an incredible golf shot. Like, you appreciate the good golf. And if it's right in front of your face, conditions turned up on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that hole was playing long. I mean, for guys to be hitting 4-irons into that hole, you know it's tough. And for him, yeah, he one-handed it because he thought he had pulled it. And he did pull it a little bit, but it wasn't as bad as he thought. Still hit an unbelievable shot.
Yeah.
What was that, 3.5 feet?
From a guy who proved in the past that he can be a dog in that moment. We saw him at Brookline. Oh. The 9-iron he hit out of the bunker that won him the U.S.
So
Open. But this is the problem I have with like these USA fans right now is we look so dumb right now. And it took Matthew Fitzpatrick to remind us of all of that in his winning press conference right after.
Ryder Cup year, did you find it strange at all that it became kind of a U.S. versus Europe type thing in the crowd?
No. You know, Americans are incredibly patriotic, and I think that's, you know, I think that's amazing. You know, I guess the only issue is they just have short-term memories because we won in October, so.
We've got Matthew Fitzpatrick talking smack.
He's dunking on us. He's the nerdiest of them all. He writes down all of his stats in a book. Just
went
dunking
to Northwestern.
On him. Barely.
Played golf at Northwestern.
Just dunking on us. And there's nothing. Can't come back to that.
What do you say?
I got nothing. Can't come back.
We won an away Ryder Cup. You guys are trying to chant USA, and I just dunked on you on the first playoff hole and then dunked on you in the winning press conference against your guy, world number one. We can't win, Gabe.
We can't do this to ourselves, all right? We got to be better than this, all right? We can't be doing this
reverse
to ourselves.
Reverse psychology. Hype him up. I don't know. Maybe he'll pees down his leg.
Here's the thing, guys.
God, why are we motivating these guys more?
Well, that's the thing. Trying to turn this into a Ryder Cup atmosphere, that's not good for anyone except them. They kick our ass in that atmosphere. We don't stand up to that moment. We're the ones peeing down our legs. As it's obvious what happened, as how this played out. No more USA chants. That only makes the Europeans play better.
Also,
as proven.
What are we doing a USA chant for at the RBC Heritage?
That's another thing. We don't need that. It's just.
We're better than that, sports fans.
Obviously not. Matthew Fitzpatrick's better than that.
Yeah.
As he proved. He's really good at that. Just don't motivate him. Let's avoid it. We don't have to do it. Play Erin Hills, Golf Digest 10th ranked public course in the nation. It's right here in Wisconsin. Charming overnight accommodations, championship golf experience, the back nine, pure elegance. It's fantastic. Although the front nine's pretty good too. Have a hard time trying to figure out which side is my favorite. You can decide. Go ahead, book your time, play it. Plan your trip at erinhills.com.
No ifs, ands, or buts. There's more On the Tee with Gabe and Steven coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Now, I don't want to necessarily put all your business in the street, Steven, but I don't think you played a ton of like weekday golf last year, did you?
I mean, you get rid of the word weekday. You can say golf.
But you got to get out there today.
Gabe, today was one of those days that just fills your cup on the golf course. I need it today more than you know. As detailed on this very show, I had a tough end to my 2025 golf season.
Sure.
Didn't play a whole lot of golf. And when I played, it was not very good golf. Went on a trip to Pinehurst
Well, sure, the Pinehurst stuff, but I'll tell you what, the last time we played together in 2025, I was reminded of this weekend when I played, because we were walking, my group was walking. First time I had really probably walked all year, at least with other people.
Yep.
They wanted me to keep score, so I was keeping the game. So I opened up my, I had my scorecard holder from Whistling Straits, opened it up. Sure enough, there's Steven 72 at Erin Hills.
Well, that was a fun day. We peaked there, maybe in my golf career, but it really went downhill from there.
Okay, all right.
So... yeah, it was a tough end of the fall. Started dealing with some yippy stuff with my driver. Pinehurst, Donald Ross, like, F that guy. You know, he's still in my nightmares today. Yeah. Those crown greens.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great trip, but it was not great golf. So I was pretty dejected coming into this golf season. Tried the simulator. I've realized more and more how little I like simulators.
Okay.
Makes me think too much about my numbers. Stopped going to the simulator. Thought about getting new clubs, like really tough mental headspace for my golf
game. I mean, the answer to new clubs is always yes.
Yeah. No, Might still do it.
Yeah, but, I mean, wouldn't hurt to get fit.
Yeah,
you know, I feel that's a message we've tried to deliver on this show.
Went out before I went to the Masters with my parents. We played a round in Aiken, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the same stuff was popping up. Just, you know, wipey misses and terrible short game. And I just, I had zero confidence standing over the ball. And today, 70-degree day.
Yeah.
Late April. My first round at Wisconsin Country Club of the year. Just kind of, you know, that first feeling of like, we're back. And I did it in short sleeves, which I feel like kind of set the tone for the day. Because my last couple of rounds of golf had been in, you know, heavy gear.
Yeah.
And I just felt free out there, Gabe. And I golfed my ball today.
Attaboy.
And I needed this day. You know, the funny thing about this game, I call it beautifully maddening. No matter how bad you're playing, there's always a shot that brings you back.
Okay.
Today, I just was like stringing together shots that gave me hope of like, he's still in there. Like, that guy's still in there. And my driver that had escaped me, the one that I was willing to break in half, maybe throw into a pond, I was hitting fairways. I was hitting greens. I was comfy two putts. It was a fun day. It was just the type of day that I desperately needed. Gives me a whole lot of juice heading into this golf season when I'm looking to maybe double, triple my number of rounds from last year.
You got a little more time.
Yeah.
You know, get out there. I know we've actually got plans to play golf together. I mean, I don't know if we played golf outside of the two times we played at Erin Hills.
I mean, I think I played, 10 rounds at Wisconsin Country Club last year.
Oof.
It was tough.
It
was all for great reasons.
Well, no, I mean, you're a busy guy.
Yeah. Don't have kids.
if you want to play golf.
But no, today was just everything about it. The walk, the reminder of that special property of, you know, just getting the opportunity to do that on a weekday when the course is quiet, you feel like you have it to yourself. And I needed today.
Attaboy. Is there any one shot that stands out above the rest?
Yeah, a very Matty Fitzpatrick type of golf shot on the final hole of the day. And I was in the trees off the tee box, par 5, 18th hole at Wisconsin Country Club.
It's a tight driving hole.
Yeah, I
because even if you're right. Even if you're in the right side of the fairway, you got a little bit. You got some tree trouble if you're even in the right side of the fairway.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily go for it.
Tried to 2-iron punch out like a little low riser. It rose right into a tree.
Nice.
Kicked me straight left. I had 185 yards up the hill, and I put it to 2 feet.
Oh.
And I tapped in for birdie to finish my day, and I said, see you tomorrow.
A little brush it in, call it a day.
A little wave to the non-existent crowd. No USA chance for me as I finished
that's a shame.
On my round today.
That's a shame.
Yeah, golf's fun when it starts to come together, Gabe. You know?
Well, and again, we were joking with the Spieth stuff earlier, but like, you got to enjoy it. You really have to enjoy it when it comes together.
Yeah.
When everything's just kind of clicking and making sense, and those rounds are special.
Yeah.
And you got to savor them.
You know, walking out. New tees at Wisconsin Country Club this year. So, like, already setting the tone for a good golf season. Something new on the first tee box. I don't know if you've been out there since they've had this, but they have, pre-swing equipment, like, loosening up your body, like a bucket of it on the first tee. And I thought it was just somebody's golf bag, but it was a bag full of equipment to, like, get stretched out before you hit your opening tee shot.
Nice.
I thought that was fantastic. I've never seen that on a golf course. Like, I'm out there, you know, stretching, doing the swinger with the weighted end. Maybe that set the tone for the day.
So, honestly, my favorite thing that Wisconsin Country Club has added this year, I'm assuming you walked today?
Yeah, always.
Did you take one of the walking bottles of sand?
No, am I supposed to?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that in the winter. I didn't take it with me.
Oh, okay, yeah. But it's because usually,
sorry,
like,
Adam,
when they
superintendent,
have,
I did fill my divots.
But when they have the, you know, the ones that are attached to like the cart, they're just too big. You're not going to carry that with you. But they've got a smaller one. It's a smaller tube. Can clip right onto your golf bag. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Super easy to carry with you. You don't even notice it's there, and then you can fill divots.
Yeah, I love it.
Which is fantastic. Steven does have a question for our Gribble Losses One Call, That's All. That is coming up next. But with 18 unforgettable holes on 250 acres of natural private land, the Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. After your round, stop in the clubhouse for food and drinks. Call 262-284-7075 or visit golfthebog.com.
Forget about changing that dial. More On the Tee with Gabe and Steven next on 94.5 ESPN.
Gerber Loves is One Call, That's All. They bring us One Call, That's All each and every week right here on the Tee. Steven, your question this week for One Call, That's All, presented by Gruber Loves.
Yeah, it's going to be a little unique one. So one of the great season-long events that we have at Wisconsin Country Club is called the Red Coat.
Yep.
And this, of course, being the week on the PGA Tour schedule, we have, you know, team match play at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Had me thinking about Red Coat. And this week we had to sign up with our partner. And I am going back to the well with my buddy Seth. We made a run at it a couple of years ago. He had asked me in the off season if we could try and run it back. And I said, yeah, of course. Like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Well, a day before sign up, he sends me a picture.
Mm-hmm. Gabe.
And the picture is of a dislocated finger that happened in his intramural basketball league. That's a whole separate conversation.
I was about to say, this is why I don't play basketball anymore.
So, my Gruber Loves One Call, That's All, Gabe,
yeah,
is like, I signed us up.
Okay.
Do I need to change and make a different call? Do I need to change the plan before we lock in these teammates? Because, like, love my buddy Seth. I play a lot of golf with him, one of my favorite guys to golf with. We made a run at it a couple of years ago. He's mm-hmm. like a 9 handicap, the perfect
partner.
That's
a really
you
good
need.
Number to have. Yep. And Seth, again, because the great part about Seth being a 9, like he can birdie any hole.
Yeah.
So even when he's getting a stroke, he can birdie anything
but
out.
But he's going to go into our first match cold. Cuz I think first matches probably have to be played, you know, by early June
yeah,
would be
probably
my
June.
Guess. And my guy's on the IL.
Mhm. Just saying.
Wasn't the picture I wanted, Gabe.
It's yeah, that's not a great one. I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I'm still looking for a partner, Steven.
I thought we got you one.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
We'll I haven't heard that. Anything.
Why don't you ask our producer, Alex Strofe, to be your partner? Give me your member guest partner.
No, I want to have fun. Not watch somebody swing and miss 9 times in a row.
No?
Was it 9? Or is that too many?
I think that's too many.
Oh, okay.
It might have been 8.
Sorry, Strofe.
So might have been 8.
I was in the ballpark. Famous video from the ESPN Madison golf outing years ago.
I'm much better than that these days.
I'm surprised you picked up another golf club.
I only brought it up because I love you.
You can yeah, be it my, felt that way.
You can be my partner. So, yeah, I'm in a pickle. I'm in a situation here, Gabe.
I think you hope for either a bye or you hope for an easier opponent.
I think
you got to stick it out with Seth. Because, again, I can't tell you to bail on Seth.
No.
Like, he's too good of a guy.
It's public now.
Yeah.
I'm a bad friend.
And I was about to say, and I can't be the one that would actually advise you to bail on him. So, no, I am not going to do that to Seth, especially publicly.
I think I probably have an opportunity to play the match solo.
Oh, you always have that. I mean, the guy did that last year in the WSGA four ball, like his buddy had to go, and he actually finished out one of the matches, won the second one playing by himself.
He's my horse. Like, yeah. He's the guy I need to lean on.
No, you're gonna have to play a really, really good round of golf if you play it by yourself.
We will update this story as it progresses closer to the Red Coat season.
Okay, yeah, and that's always one of the fun events of the year. We'll be back next week updating you on everything happening in the world of golf on the Tee.